I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. Please be seated. Our lesson for today is from John's Gospel, and it is set upon the Last Supper. Jesus is preparing his disciples for his betrayal and his crucifixion. The events that are coming will be traumatic for his followers, but he wants them to know that they will not be alone. If you love me, he says to them, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it is neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Then he makes this powerful promise to his followers and to you and me. And I quote, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. End of quote. What beautiful words of reassurance. Our lesson today seems to tell us that we need not live as orphans. And I lived as an orphan for 5 years. When I was in high school, I wanted to be a priest. And this is, of course, in the Roman Catholic Church. But the seminary that I was to go to was downtown Chicago. And to take the subway and take the L and the public transportation to live to from where I live in Grays Lake, Illinois, to downtown Chicago would take me about 2.5 hours every way at 7 in the morning and at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock at night, depending if you were chosen for the basketball team or not. And so before a couple weeks before I was to start minor seminary, my mom and dad came up and said, Wayne, we got some good news. Really? What's the good news? You won't have to travel that 2.5 hours to Quigley every day, one way. I said, well, what's the good news? That sounds like I like that, because I would be going all by myself down in traffic and things like that. So they said, well, we found that the seminary has started a program for those who live farthest away from the school, and that was Quigley Preparatory Seminary, about a block and a half away from the water tower, if any of you know where that is downtown. And she said, they have arranged for Angel Guardian Orphanage, which is about a half an hour away from the seminary, to board anyone that lives far away. I said, I don't know if that sounds good news or not. How am I going to live there among orphans? And they said, that's right. There's about 1,000 orphans at the orphanage, and this is when orphanages were thriving in Chicago. This was the Roman Catholic orphanage, one of the biggest ones in the city, and they were going to put all of us that lived far from the seminary in one of these orphanages. The way we went to school was the only day we had off was Sunday. We went to school on Saturday, and Thursday was sort of a half day off. So the reason that we went to school on Thursday was that sort of keep us away from, and not on Saturday. And we went to school on Saturday, too. The main idea was to keep us away from the opposite sex. So no dating or anything like that. That was unheard of. And if you wanted to date, I guess you'd become Episcopalian that early. But I never heard of the Episcopal Church, as a matter of fact. It was just a Catholic church to me. So we were. I was boarding at the orphanage, and we had our own little community of, not orphans, but seminarians. But the rest of us are surrounded by these orphans that were from everywhere from kindergarten through high school. And we got to know them. We got to play with them. We got to eat with them. And we got to pray with them and hear stories. Some of the stories were always, you know, I wish I was with mom and dad. And we could see that. And we had to tell them that we weren't really orphans. We would go to, on Saturday after school, we would go home and be with our family and be with our moms and dads. So that was a big difference for us. And there is something that's a big difference, because it's about somebody that cared about us. To them, not many people cared about them. There are a few things I found out that could be more traumatic than being an orphan at a young age. What can be more tragic than to be deprived of the parents that love you so much? Of course, some very fine people have found themselves to be orphans, and they found themselves in this position because of different things. You look Google on your computer and look up famous orphans, and you can read names of many outstanding people from different fields who were able to accomplish much in life in spite of this very real misfortune. You can read about people like Eleanor Roosevelt. Roosevelt's mother, Anna Rebecca Hall, died from diphtheria in 1892. And the next year, when Roosevelt was 9 years old, her father, Elliot, died from the same disease. Eleanor was raised by her maternal grandmother. Maybe this is what gave Roosevelt her great compassion for suffering for all kinds of people all over the world. And she was one of our first ladies, as well as being a service and a diplomat, author, and a writer. Some other remarkable people that were orphaned, not by death of their parents, but by because of a breakup of their families, which resulted in them being put up for adoption. Some of these people were like Steve Jobs, Nelson Mandela, musician John Lennon, President Andrew Jackson, and many others. All you have to do is look at the Google and look for famous orphans. Many people have found themselves orphaned. What I want to say to you, though, is that there are times when all of us will feel like an orphan. That is, there are times when we feel helpless, alone, forsaken. Someone close to us is taken from us, and we don't like that. Or we are confronted with the reality of our own mortality. Or for some reason we experience intense physical or psychological pain. At such times, we may feel that even God has forsaken us. This is not a unique experience. Remember, even Jesus Christ called out on the cross, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Matthew 27. Even Christ felt orphaned at that moment in his life, and some people never recover from the experience of abandonment. Some of you might remember the name Tom Sutherland. He was one of those men who was held hostage in Lebanon by the terrorists for 6.5 years. According to one source, Sutherland was held in 26 different locations during his captivity. Some of his cells were cold, dark, underground holes, only 6 by 6 feet in size. After 18 months of captivity, Sutherland was put into solitary confinement. That, too, was an underground cell. He became so discouraged that he tried to commit suicide 3 different times, pulling a plastic bag over his head. Each time, he said, he would think of his wife and 3 daughters and stop short of killing himself. Tom Sutherland was a good Christian. He was taken captive. He was even an elder in his home church. But after this experience in Lebanon, he no longer believes in God. When asked why, Sutherland answered, and I quote, "I prayed so many times and so hard, and nothing happened." End of quote. This is not a rare experience. And some people never quite recover from this dark night of the soul. Their sense of abandonment overwhelms them. A lot of people are like that. You might feel like that, and they do feel like that. Whatever the reason, things that they've done, things their life has given them, they can't handle. Who can? It's beyond their control. It's made them feel like they were damaged goods, bent out of shape, crushed, or of little value to themselves or even anyone else. To use Jesus' metaphor, they feel like orphans. They feel that no one cares for them. But someone does care. God cares. God doesn't want any of his children to feel that they are abandoned or feel like an orphan. Some of you remember the story of a man who allowed God to help him overcome his feeling of abandonment. His name was James Cash Penny, better known by his first initials, J.C. At one time, J.C. Penny was one of the country's most successful entrepreneurs. He made more money, more fortunes in one lifetime than anyone could ever do. But Mr. Penny also experienced severe losses. A lot of failures and heartbreaks went along that way. In 1898, Mr. Penny went to work for Guy Johnson and Thomas Callahan, who operated some small dry goods stores called the Golden Rule Stores. Because of his tireless work and work ethic and high ethical and moral standards, Penny succeeded in his work to the point of eventually buying out Johnson and Callahan and then renaming the chain of stores after his name. But then in 1910, Penny's wife died, a crushing blow. At a friend's suggestion, Mr. Penny turned to philanthropy as a way to deal with his pain. And in 1916, he met a second wife. But 8 years later, she suddenly died. Mr. Penny married a third time, poured his life into his work, and by 1929, he accumulated a net worth of about $40 million. And back in those days, $40 million was a lot of money. Then the Great Depression wiped him out completely. He had nothing. Desperately, emotionally dragged out, empty, and physically as well, Mr. Penny entered a sanitarium in Battle Creek, Michigan, a defeated man. And as he lays in that sanitarium bed one day, he heard a familiar hymn coming from the chapel. The hymn was an old gospel favorite, titled, God Will Take Care of You. God Will Take Care of You. It sunk deep into his soul, and he said, that's who's going to take care of me from now on. It was a message Mr. Penny needed to hear. At this low point in his life, he didn't want to live like an orphan anymore. He wanted to know that someone cared about him. The doctors didn't expect him to live. But Mr. J.C. Penny decided he wasn't ready to give up yet. He cried out to God for help, and the Lord answered his request. His depression lifted, and soon he left the sanitarium. Once again, he built his fortune and further established the company we now know today as Penny's. For decades, he gave away millions of dollars and shared his faith about God with anyone who would listen. He died recently at 95 years of age, still trusting that God would take care of him. Just as a matter of interest, in 1940, he made a visit to one of his stores in Des Moines, Iowa. And Penny trained a young gentleman, employee named Sam Walton, on how to wrap packages with a minimum amount of paper and ribbon. That is the same Sam Walton who went on to found Walmart, one of the world's largest department store chains to date. There is power in believing that you are not alone in this world, even if you are an orphan. What a powerful promise Christ made to his disciples and to you and me. Though they could not see this at the time, the promise was there. They couldn't imagine that in a couple more days he would be put to death. And then certainly they couldn't imagine that he would be resurrected in 3 days and that he would send his Holy Spirit with them from 50 days later on the day of Pentecost. But everything he foretold came true. And it is still true today. If you are going through a difficult time right now, and some of you are, take him at his word. And I quote, "I will never leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live." What great good news that is for each of us. Amen, amen, alleluia.